The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Hi Rolene, how are you?
Good afternoon everybody, and I have to concur with whoever's opinion it was. If you focus on the good and the positive, it expands, and yeah, I'm a huge believer in that. So, and today's 11-11, so if you're into esoteria and numbers and numerology, you'll get exactly what I'm saying.
Well, I'm going to jump right into it because there's a lot of news that I'm want to touch on today with you. Let's start with the first story. This lease that Israel had on a certain small piece of Jordanian land has expired. There's so many different stories and news and fake news doing the rounds. Give us the real story. What's going on there?
Okay, so as part of the peace agreement that Israel has with Jordan, and just a reminder to listeners, we have peace agreements with two Arab nations, Egypt and Jordan. You know, they say it couldn't be done, but it has been done. Part of that agreement was the leasing of some territory, some Jordanian territory to Israel for agriculture, for other industry. Now, the lease has expired. And we do have two reports coming out of Jordan. One is from King Abdullah, who says that he's not going to renew the lease. The land must be returned to Jordan, that Jordan's sovereignty over its land is above any consideration. This he tweeted out earlier today. He also said that Israel ignored or turned down an offer buy these leased actually it wasn't him, it was the Jordanian foreign minister. I don't think that Israel would refuse this land. We also had in the lead up to the second round of elections, Prime Minister Netanyahu saying that if he was voted in, he would also annex the land. And it also serves as a cautionary tale. And if there are any analysts out there on the Middle East, who maybe aren't that familiar, we always have to separate between what can physically be done and a leader when he's on the campaign trail, especially one where it's a very, very close race. So at the moment, what has happened is the army has sealed off those territories that will be returned under Jordanian control. However, in the Tzofar region, there are some 31 Israeli farmers. They have been allowed to come in and work business as usual. Apparently, there has been an agreement to allow them to carry on business as usual. However, in Naharayim, which is another enclave of these areas, there has been Israelis who were previously working in those areas have been cut off. So in the Tzofar region, we have business as usual. In Naharayim, there is a little bit of dispute on that. They haven't been allowed access.
Is this whole toing and froing sort of a manifestation of the very cool and cooling peace between Jordan and Israel? If this had come up for review, say, 8-9 years ago, would there have been a very different result?
I think you raise a very important question. I think this definitely is part of the cooling of diplomatic relations between the two countries. I don't want to speculate and say that we'll see an end to the peace agreement. I don't think that it's in the benefit of both countries, and I don't think it's in the benefit of the region. I think for both countries, along with the peace treaty that we have with Egypt, this is certainly broken through boundaries. This has certainly created a precedent for any other or any future peace deals, but there certainly has been an increase of tension between Amman and Jerusalem. I'd say probably over the last year and a half, 2 years.
I don't know if I'm out of line here, but it seems to me that Abdullah is
King Abdullah.
Yeah, is having difficulty getting the respect that he wants from his own street. It seems to me that his position is somewhat precarious in light of economic difficulties in Jordan, etc.
Well, Well, I think you're right on that account. He doesn't enjoy the popularity perhaps as much as his predecessor, King Hussein. Also, the relationship between King Hussein and the then Israeli leader Yitzhak Rabin was a very amicable one. There's a very, very famous photograph, a black and white photograph of him lighting up Yitzhak Rabin's cigarette. And also, we can't forget from when King Hussein died, as well as Yitzhak Rabin, the warm language that was exchanged between both countries.
Moving on to a story that Kathy and I were debating in studio a little while ago. Netanyahu appoints Bennett as defense minister. Wow, Rolene, and 3 weeks ago he was calling Bennett childish.
Okay, so there's definitely some political strategizing at play here. I think Prime Minister Netanyahu is moving the pieces on the chessboard as quickly as possible. We are very, very close to the end of Prime Minister-designate Benny Gantz's mandate. I have to tell you that this appointment has created a lot of controversy, and it's just as much debate here in Israel as well. We were all debating it around the Shabbat table on Friday night. Many people, and I have to say this, are quite confounded by this decision because of the caliber of military leadership we have coming in the blue and white. The Prime Minister has taken a lot of flack, a lot of criticism for holding several portfolios, one of them being the highly desirable defense portfolio. The other was the foreign minister portfolio, which he handed over to Yisrael Katz. But for many Israelis, they don't see Naftali Bennett, who is quite controversial for taking a hard line in certain areas, and also for being extremely critical against Netanyahu. You know, there's this, you can definitely see the I'll stroke your back if you pat my back at play here. But a lot of criticism and a lot of discussion in Israel, because on the side of the blue and white, we have in the upper leadership of the party, we have two former IDF chief of staff in the form of Benny Gantz and Gabi Ashkenazi. We also have Moshe Yaalon, the former defense minister, and the highest ranking female in the Kahol V'Lavan camp is a general within the IDF. So it's really confusing a lot of people as to why this has happened, and also many speculating, myself included, that this is one of the reasons why we're not pushing through any count of a political roadblock when it comes to forming that unity government, which apparently both Netanyahu and Benny Gantz are advocating.
And finally, Rolene, I'm not sure if there's enough time left to do this justice, but remembering Kristallnacht, what's happening in Israel?
Well, I think the sensitivity to the 81st anniversary of Kristallnacht, which happened in Germany and Austria on the 9th and 10th of November 1938, is particularly poignant this year, especially in Israel, as we are very concerned for the situation of many of our diaspora communities. Astounding increase in anti-Semitism, up over 57% in Sweden, up over 167% in New York. Please listen to that. Incidents happening in the United Kingdom over the weekend. And just before I let you guys go, we have to remember that the Shoah, this was the harbinger. The Shoah did not start with gas chambers. Yeah. It started with words, and it started with actions like what took place on Kristallnacht.
Rolene Marks, thank you as always. Look forward to your update tomorrow at 20 past 5.
God bless, guys.
You too. Thanks, Rolene.